Backseat Box Office, episode number 109 for the weekend of October 19th through the 21st, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Lena.
This is Jonathan.
Every time.
Jesus.
It's been a while. I didn't go second, and then I got lost, all right?
We still got one more Jeff. Left. Jeff's here somewhere.
This is Jeff.
There you go. I was just going to say it.
Wow, and this is the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office, and you can tell this is the first episode after Sausage Fest, so none of us know what the hell is going on, because we're probably all still drunk.
Oh.
So there was a story that I saved to tell until we were recording, because I'm not going to back down from this story, because it's hilarious. So Friday night, Jonathan and I had a contest that we didn't know we were having, and Jonathan won.
Oh, by a lot.
By a lot. By a whole lot. But I came in a strong second place.
Yeah, you were a heavy contender.
Basically, what we didn't realize we were doing, we were playing the who's going to pass out first game. And yeah, so that happened. Now, one thing to note, I brought my H4 audio recorder with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were jacking around Friday afternoon, playing some Cards Against Humanity, and there's a nice long recording session of that. And I recorded the intro bumper stinger thing for the Buckaroo Banzai thing that I dropped earlier today, that was supposed to be dropped on Monday. And so I went to pull the audio off, and I noticed there are numerous recorded files on my device. And it's like I recorded one of the panels I was at, and that's, you know, the time stamps are all right. And then I see a time stamp of an extremely long file that the recording ended at 3 a.m. Saturday morning. Apparently, it started recording at about 9 p.m., which would coincide with about when we got back from dinner.
Yeah.
Other fun thing to note, I remember going to dinner. I remember sitting down to dinner. I have vague recollections of paying for dinner and walking out of the restaurant. I remember nothing else until approximately 2:45 a.m.
I was sober at that point because I stopped drinking before dinner.
Yeah, well, I wasn't.
Because
So I went back and listened to bits of this audio. I am part of conversations that I do not recall. I clearly hear my own voice taking part in conversations that I have no recollection of. So, piece of advice, record yourself when you're drunk, because it is rather enlightening.
Well, people used to write down what I said. That during high school, there'd be periods, usually around exams and theater productions, where, you know, we'd all be running about, you know, 4 hours of sleep a night.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a week of it, people would start writing down the things I said just to remind me later. It's like, really? Okay. I guess verbs are neat. Like, the one that sticks out is that people will still tell me, it's like, you know what? I like verbs. All of them. They'll let me do stuff.
That's fair.
You know, no one can disagree with me on it. Verbs.
No, it's perfectly valid.
You speak the truth.
All right, so just a little bit to mention about Sausage Fest, since we have been talking about it quite a bit leading up to this point. Number one, most importantly, you can still donate. If you've already donated and you still have some free cash, you should donate to, it's called Extra Life?
Yes.
Extra Life.
That is going to be, if this episode drops according to plan, tomorrow for you people in time lag verse.
Fantastic. So
yours starts tomorrow or it starts over the weekend?
It starts Saturday at 8 a.m. my time.
I will throw in, my stuff, a link and such.
Okay. So, Sausage Fest went over brilliantly.
Yes.
Just by way of comparison, year one Sausage Fest, which was literally thrown together in less than a month, mm-hmm. with the impetus to, hey, I've got a lot of extra alcohol, and we have this podcast we do, we could promote it, let's throw a room party. Then 2 days later, hey, room parties have themes. Wouldn't it be kind of hilarious because it is a sci-fi convention and the entendre is pretty fantastic? Let's call it Sausage Fest. Oh, and the really great thing is we can get like links of sausage and make dudes get on their knees and eat them before they're allowed into the party. That never happened.
No.
But about a week or so after that, the idea came to us that it was, hey, we're giving away all this stuff. Maybe we could take donations. And since it's October, let's just do it for breast cancer awareness because that's the month of the pink. Mm-hmm. So, and that's literally how this brainchild came to me, 2 years ago. Then, we did it over two nights because the first night there was nothing going on Friday night and people all of a sudden just started showing up to our room to party because they knew we had booze.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly intentional.
No, about 2 hours into it, we're like, hey, all you people here drinking our free booze, we're kind of doing this tomorrow for charity. You want to throw in a few bucks tonight? So that's when we started taking donations. We took them over two nights and we took in $500. Last year, we were a little more organized and we took in about $800. This year, we were considerably more organized and we had 1 year of good experience under our belt. And we took in right about 5 hours, we took in $1,333.30.
Woo!
That is not exaggerated or manipulated. That is literally the money, the count of the money that was in the pink cooler at the end of the night.
I did wish you had thrown in another 370.
I almost threw an extra 3 cents because then it would
that
have been
too.
Yeah, yeah. Either one would have been kind of hilarious, but I wanted to do the true count, and that's what the true count was. We are still taking donations, so somebody can throw in $3.70, and we can be elite. I don't know. I had a great time. Jonathan, do you have anything to say?
Maybe I'm just hearing myself in my headphones. Sorry. I went to the first Sausage Fest simply because I was like, screw it, I want to go meet Tony and some other people and hang out, and it'll be fun. And, Sausage Fest, that's kind of hilarious. And you know what? Now it really is, I am amazed at the fact that we have taken something that was a joke and a con where the whole point is really just to get drunk and hang out, and we're doing something good with it. And so it really does feel like that's awesome. So I said it on The Way of the Game that you won't hear until this week, but like, if you're not coming to Sausage Fest, even if you're not, like, I can kind of understand if you're not into the party drinking scene, but still, like, the camaraderie that comes out of it, the entertaining stories.
Well, that's the thing. Even if you aren't a drinker, watching drunk people is hilarious.
Yeah. And, even if you're not a drinker, hang out with us. Most of this crew doesn't get drunk during Sausage Fest.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. We've hit the point where we need to be on our game. And so, there's not that much drinking going on among the crew. And so there are people to hang out with that are still, you know, capable of sober conversation, if that's what you need. But, you know, even then, it was like this year we tried the scavenger hunt thing, which worked not so well, but it was cool all the same. And it was hilarious to be like, oh, go find a foreign out-of-state license plate or an out-of-state license. And I went all the way out to the parking lot and took a picture of a Texas license plate because I misunderstood the instructions. What's sad is I was still the first one to come back.
Yeah, you came back, and then other people realized he meant a driver's license. So they went to the other room right next door and said,
yeah.
Hey, Sam, can we borrow your driver's license?
Or alternatively opened their own wallets.
Yeah.
No, it had to be someone else's.
It had to be somebody else's.
The comb was the one that broke it. Like, how do you find someone at this party in this many people that have a comb just handy?
I didn't have a comb, but I think I did. I was going to give you my room key if you wanted to go find my driver's license. I didn't want to go get it myself, but I'm like, you could take my room key and go rifle through my stuff. I'll just sit here.
You just have to go to the Grease cosplay party.
That there probably was one that I just wasn't aware of at that moment because we were so invested in Sausage Fest.
I found a pirate comb.
Yeah.
Yarr.
Pirate comb.
And more to the fact that we stay sober through Sausage Fest is because it's 5 hours long, starting at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drink at all during this, you're going to be in the corner, passed out, well before it's over.
I mean, there's so much. There's running around, and I mean, I kept drinking a lot of water and.
Yeah, I stopped counting bottles of water that I drank at 8. And that was,
I mean,
I stopped counting at 1 a.m. So 3 hours in, I had already drank eight bottles of water.
I know I had a few drinks when I first got there because I didn't have a nap and I was exhausted. And after that, the only time I really had drinks is when I was helping behind the bar and someone was wanting to give a donation to drink with the bartenders.
Yep.
Buy-in for everybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's one of the best parts of it, too, are the people that come in and they're like, I'm a survivor. I know a survivor. My mother's a survivor. My grandmother died of this. You know, whatever. Yep. Like, we're actively touching people in appropriate ways. You know,
you know, I remember, you know, I remember Tony telling stories about that from last year. And at one point during the party, I was out in the hall just to kind of, you know, get away from the masses. And a woman came up to me and she, you know, just threw her arms around me and said she was a survivor and she hugged me. And I just kind of, I didn't know what to say for a minute. I was totally choked up. It was incredible.
Yeah. It's a great feeling. And, you know, it started as a joke. But and we still laugh. There's a whole lot of laughing going on. But it's nice that we're actually able to do something cool and something that's meaningful.
I'm so glad I got to go.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that that everybody, especially you guys that flew in for it, had such a good time. Because man, That's something to live up to. When people are flying cross country to your party, you better live up. You better bring your game. So, all right, let's get past this because we could probably have a whole episode about Sausage Fest and Sam's outfit and.
He just couldn't leave his own boobs alone.
No, he couldn't. He could not stop touching himself. Oh, my God.
And, you know, a lot of people did things to those.
Oh, yeah.
I even, on request, took a couple pictures of it. Other people wanting me to take pictures of ickiness they were doing to them.
The other thing to note, and this is a stat that I'm going to start keeping because I was able to get a good accounting of it this year. This year, we served 47 and a half pounds of sausage at Sausage Fest.
Yeah, that was good sausage.
It was good.
We had to make an emergency.
So what we're actually saying is that we need to work our way up to a 55-gallon drum of sausage.
That may or may not be in the plans for next year.
Well, the first purchasing of meat was gone by midnight, I think.
At midnight, we got by midnight, we knew that we were going to run out.
Yeah.
And that was 2 hours in, and we knew that stores were getting low and that it would be gone by 1 a.m. at the rate we were going. Mm-hmm. And I brought 30 pounds with me. And at some point during the party, I was kind of waffling. Do we get more? Do we not? Do we just let it go at that point? And then I turned around to Jonathan and I said, can you go get more? And Jonathan's gigantic hands brought back with him.
Didn't need any bags, just.
Yeah, so Jonathan brought back 17 and a half pounds of sausage, and probably within about 5 to 10 minutes before we actually cut the party off was when we ran out of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the timing could not have worked out a whole lot better because we were getting, I think we served the last of it sometime between 4:45 and 3 a.m. And that's when we kind of shut the doors and said, it's a night.
I don't recall there really being any issues with partygoers, but I mean, I wasn't everywhere.
Yeah, we didn't have to kick anybody out this year. We did. I think we cut a few people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, and that happens when you have people who, I mean, and the tough part is the people that we cut off, at least that one guy, the guy who took his shirt off about halfway through, he was having a great time.
Yeah.
Why don't I know who that was?
And he was throwing. He was the guy in the black turtleneck, the real slim guy.
Or not in the black turtleneck, yeah. As the case may be.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he would like get right up like an inch away from your face and talk to you. I remember him.
Yeah. Okay. But I know he donated somewhere in the range, yes, of like $60 to $70 as he was drinking.
Yes.
'Cause like he would get drinks and would throw like 15 bucks in each time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I literally had 3 drinks with him when I was working behind the bar. 'Cause he would just like throw in a lot of money. We're having another okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was rough because it was like, man, he's donating a lot of money, but we need to not serve him more alcohol.
Yeah, he was in a bad state.
Yeah, and then there was the awesome Legend of the Five Rings room party guys that showed up and partied with us brought us the void, the drink. Oh,
that was terrible.
Wow.
That was never to
yeah,
be done
so
again.
So
I was
it's
fine
nothing that can eat its way through paper. A paper cup should go into.
Don't put it in paper cups.
Yeah, that was the one warning. He's like, because we used paper Dixie cups as shot glasses because it's real cheap. It's an easy shot glass. So we went to pull those out, and he's like, "Yeah, you don't want to use those for this. You need plastic. It will eat through the paper." Okay. Yeah, and that was at the, fortunately that was at the end of the night. That was after we had closed the doors. That was the little post
the after party.
Post, yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of party, and it was mostly this was us catching a breath between moving furniture back into place.
Yeah.
kind of party. But yeah, it was a great time. I had a blast. Everybody I talked to had a great time. There was a lot of good talk about the party on throughout the con. The next day, I saw a ton of people and a lot of the con staff who came up to me and asked me how we did, things like that. So that was really cool. Some people on Facebook on the Archon Facebook page have kind of followed up and asked how things have gone. It was awesome, and I know people are already looking forward to it next year.
I loved being able to like face-to-face meet a lot of the people,
yeah,
a lot of you guys that I hadn't met.
And we had a couple of people who aren't associated with the podcast at all who were just outstanding individuals. Nick, and I now know Nick's last name. It's Nick Bryan. He was our doorman again.
Again.
2 years running, this guy has stood in front of the room and checked IDs for 5 hours.
5 hours.
Twice.
Dude is a rock.
Yeah. That's insane.
And he's awesome. He does it with a big smile on his face, doesn't ask for anything. It's like every time I walked by there, I was like, dude, do you need food? Yeah, do you need water? Do you need anything? And he's like, no, I'm good. He was just having a blast talking to the people who were coming in. And the other one was Wei. Wei is a superstar. Yeah. And
I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome. There's nothing quite like a hot Asian female cosplayer to help bring in donations, especially when she points her finger at you and says, hey, you need to donate. Because that's what she does, and she does it really well. I think next year I'm going to fund her getting a dominatrix outfit, because let's just put it – nice. I mean, Jesus, you might as well.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine how we could dress Sam for that, though? Oh,
that would be insane.
Really, really. Oh, I'll share this afterwards. We should we should get back onto the
we should probably talk about movies.
Okay, and I discuss how things went over the weekend.
Didn't we just do that?
At the theater where people were sober. Taken 2 came in at number 1 with $21.9 million. Argo came in at number 2 with $19.5 million. Sinister came in at number 3 with $18 million. Hotel Transylvania came in at number 4 with $17.2 million. Here Comes the Boom came in at number 5 with $11.8 million. And I'll just go to the next one, Pitch Perfect, at number 6, $9.3 million. And that's it.
All right. And how did you do, Jonathan?
Well, for coming in and just randomly throwing stuff out there, I flip-flop 1 and 2, which gave me 22 points, which apparently was better than all the people that have been doing this for a while. So just took up my mantle of the talent once again.
Look out. I guess I can go next because I got a 21. I did that by flip-flopping Here Comes the Boom and Sinister. I had Taken 2, Argo, and Hotel Transylvania in the correct positions. And I put Sinister in fifth place and Here Comes the Boom in third, and they were actually flip-flop. So I got a 21. Myself and Father Beast and Mrs. Beast and a few other people, I think.
Yeah, I also got 21, but I had Sinister a little higher than other people, and that's what dropped me down a little.
I also had 21. I got the first two right, and I had Transylvania, Boom, and Sinister. They are just not quite where they're supposed to be.
Scott?
So I got a 17, but I am happy with it because it affirms my faith in humanity that people are willing to pay money to see a smart, procedurally oriented spy movie based on real events rather than a dumbass Kevin James movie. So I flipped a lot of things around between 3 and 5, between 2 and 5, and it did not work out.
Yeah, I really want to see Argo, especially based on Darren's review up on the website. Darren can be a pretty tough critic on if there's a celebrity behind something that doesn't deserve accolades that they're being given, and I kind of almost get the impression that he kind of goes into this Ben Affleck movie with a little bit of that, you know, I'm gonna make sure that this guy isn't just floating along here. And he gives it a pretty glowing review.
A friend of mine wanted to see it last weekend, but I forced her to wait so we could go this weekend because I want to see it.
Here's the interesting thing is that when they get to the middle bit where they're like making the fake movie, Jack Kirby shows up.
Wait, are you serious?
Well, not like Jack Kirby, the guy, but Jack Kirby was part of the operation. He was the storyboard artist for the fake movie.
So are you telling me that there is a character in this movie that is Jack Kirby?
There is a guy playing Jack Kirby. They don't really call any attention to him. It's just, here's Jack, he's doing storyboards. And then when you get to the credits, it's Jack Kirby.
It's Jack the King Kirby.
Yes.
Nice.
I don't know what that means.
And apparently John Goodman's character, in addition to being like a CIA disguise guy, invented Spock's ears.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
What's the Jack Kirby reference?
Jack Kirby co-created Marvel.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. You've heard of Stan Lee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stan Lee has better lawyers.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Jack Kirby is instrumental in creating the look of early Marvel, period.
I feel like I'm the voice of the ungeek for all things backseat producers. No,
you know what? Somebody's got to ask the question because there are other people that are listening. They're like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Thank you, Lana, for asking the question so I don't have to go look this crap up.
That's what I'm actually going to start doing more with Backseat Book Club and not worrying about the fact that I don't know what the hell Scott Paul is talking about half the time.
I don't know half the stuff that Scott references also, so don't feel bad.
Like, I'm actually going to start a new little sub-series within Backseat Book Club called Book Club Companions, where I ramble on about things I reference.
So it's going to be Backseat Book Club quickies.
Yeah. Well, it'll just be like me either explaining things from the previous episode or doing like some background material for the next one.
That's awesome.
So like for Ready Player One, I'm gonna go through all the weird things I reference and just give a little background on it and why I thought it was relevant at the time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then for Hogfather, I'm gonna be like, okay, here's kind of everything you need to know about Discworld to get it, even though the book introduces most of what you need to know.
I'm down for that. That's awesome.
Wow.
And then some rambling about steampunk later.
I guess when you guys talk about T and Pip's book?
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So we've got two new movies coming out this week in wide release. We've got a number of other movies, and we'll get to that soon. Something special's going to happen.
Walk my spirit.
You should be.
You should be.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and hold off on talking about Paranormal Activity 4 because I'm going to need to give my voice a rest because of the length of the description. So
you need to lay down a minute first.
I might. I think I need a nap.
All right, so first movie in wide release is Alex Cross, which follows the young homicide detective slash psychologist Tyler Perry from the worldwide best-selling novels by James Patterson as he meets his match in a serial killer, Matthew Fox. The two face off in a high-stakes game of cat and mouse, but when the mission gets personal, Cross is pushed to the edge of his moral and psychological limits in this taut and exciting action thriller, copyright Lionsgate Films. And John Reno's in it. That just bought it some points there.
Ooh, yeah.
I can't see Matthew Fox playing a bad guy. Not even slightly.
Oh, I can.
Really?
He played a bad character sometimes in Lost.
God, I thought he picked a spineless character.
Wow. Oh, Edward Burns is in this too.
Yeah.
I like Ed Burns. All right. So that is a movie that's coming out.
Notice that none of us are really at all interested in it.
And why are they calling Tyler Perry young?
Oh, God.
I think the character is meant to be. All right, so Paranormal Activity 4 is the other big release. The fourth installment in the popular horror franchise. That is the description of the movie.
That's probably all the description they need to sell it.
Yeah, I probably should have started that off with spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. You ruined the whole thing for me, Tony.
I ruined it for everyone.
Now I will not have to. Now I won't even go, and I won't even sit through 2 hours of empty rooms in the dark punctuated by shadows, and then 2 minutes of shit actually happening.
Fuck you
and your found footage movies.
I have yet to see one of these movies.
Nope.
I actually made a point of not watching any of them, but I did watch the unlicensed, unofficial Japanese sequel, which was still terrible.
Oh, wow.
Like, and not even terrible in that Japanese horror movie way where it's still kind of fun. Just kind of like, wow, this whole security cam thing gets really boring in a Japanese apartment with only 2 rooms.
Oh, man.
I don't want it to scare me, even if it's by accident, because I don't want to do a girly scream. Because I will.
Here's something awesome I just found on Rotten Tomatoes. Here's a list of Jean Reno's top 10 best movies. So this now gives me a list of more movies to watch.
Because Jean Reno, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if I've seen any of them.
Yeah.
You need more Jean Reno movies.
Yeah, I do.
So far, I'm looking at the first 5, and I've seen 2 of them.
Hold on, I'm not there.
So one of them is La Raphael, which I'm guessing is going to be a French film.
Yeah, but a French action movie, so yeah.
Then there's Mission Impossible.
Yeah, he was in that.
I've not seen any of the Mission Impossible.
The Big Blue, I have not seen that one. The Crimson Rivers, have not seen that one. Ronin, have seen. Good flick. We actually talked about that on Backseat Producers. Margaret, I have not seen that one. Flushed Away, have seen that one. That's pretty good. Leon the Professional.
So good.
So good. That one should probably be number 1 on this list, but they are doing it based on Rotten Tomato scores, so that's why it is number 3. La Femme Nikita, which I've seen parts of. I've never actually watched the whole thing.
I saw that one.
And then number 1, Hotel Rwanda.
Which he's in, but it's not really his movie.
Right. I've only seen bits and pieces of that.
Which is, that's Rotten Tomatoes' thing. They don't do this whole, we're going to come up with some list just so we can, you know, self-pleasure all over what we like. They pick a topic and then go to the Rotten Tomatoes scores to generate the list. And then talk about why that is probably the case that it falls that way. So it's a little more scientific than something like the Entertainment Weekly top 50 best women in sci-fi list.
So I'll just come out and say it. You don't like my top 5s.
No, actually, I like your top 5s. In fact, the top 5 that was released earlier today, which should have been released yesterday, was top 5 time travel movies. And I am probably going to come up with my top 5 time travel movies because my list is completely different than yours, with one exception.
Bill and Ted, right?
Of course. Of course.
Because that woman over there said the Mongol, that Genghis Khan was in 1266.
Oh, my God. Yes, that is exactly right. That, and they actually effectively use time travel in the movie for the story.
They have an inherent mastery of the grandfather paradox.
Yeah. At the beginning of the movie, Dad can't find his keys because they took them to put them into the future. And it happens in the course of the movie. It's amazing. They actually do it really, really well. Oh, okay. So, those are the two movies that are coming out.
Tony, I think if memory serves, you talked about that on Backseat Producers also.
I think I probably did.
As the recently dead guy for George Carlin?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we did talk about we just talked about the first one, though. I don't think we talked about the second one. I don't think we talked about Bogus Journey.
Bogus Journey has my second favorite death in film.
Who's your first?
Like Grim Reaper. Christopher Lee is death in Color of Magic.
Oh, okay. I thought
you were talking about someone that died.
Death the Grim Reaper.
Death the Grim Reaper. The character death. Yeah. Yeah. Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is pretty awesome.
You have sunk my battleship.
I believe that was William Sadler.
Yes, I think you're right. I do believe you are correct. All right. So I guess Jonathan gets to make his picks.
Are we going to make any announcements about the future of the show?
We
here,
probably
or am I just
should
make my random pick.
We should probably do that. So this,
because my pick's not going to make any sense without that.
Well, so you're not going to do the full pick. You're just going to do that pick.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jonathan has recently come back off of hiatus, and. Why am I doing this? Why don't you do this?
Well, because you sent out the email earlier. All right, so here's the deal.
But all right, so
it's the end of the season. Shut up, I'm doing this now. It is the end of the season. And I did come back last week, and it was riotous fun, as this week has been. However, turns out owning a house is hard.
Yeah.
We're still, like, I don't know why, but we'll come home, we'll be like, we need to do this, and then find out, oh, but that means that we got to go to Lowe's. And then we go to Lowe's, and we're in Lowe's for like 3 hours. And I don't know how that happens, but somehow it's just like, oh, and then we need this, and we need that. And so by the time I get home, it's like 10 o'clock, and I've already worked for a full day, and I haven't yet actually done the thing that I intended to do. And I hope this gets better at some point, but
see, that's why that's I live the way I do. I just go to Apartment Depot, where it's just a bunch of guys hanging around and just telling each other how great it is that we don't have to fix shit.
Yeah, but then I have to deal with. Yeah, I did Apartment Depot for a long time. That sucked more. So, but what it comes down to is I love recording with you guys, and I enjoy the feedback from the audience, and, you know, the repartee that we have. But, the honest truth is, when I joke about the fact that I don't watch movies and don't really even like movies that much, I'm actually not all that joking. I'm not a movie guy. I enjoy them when I watch them, but I came back last week, and that's why I just kind of threw out my picks. I was like, I have no idea what's going on anymore, and I don't care. So I think it's hit a point where with all of the stuff that's going on and with it being the end of the season, it's just time to say, hey, if I step back from this, I'll have the opportunity to perhaps jump in on BSP, or I will have time perhaps to read one of the book club offerings. I've got Phoenix Rising here somewhere. I'm sure I can pull it out of a book at some point in the next month and a half. They're out of a box. So I think that's the plan. I'm going to drop out. As I tried to do the, let me submit my picks, but that was when the whole I don't actually care about movie box office thing kicked in. And so I never really got around to that, because every time I think, oh, crap, I have to do – oh, it's like 6 o'clock on Sunday. It's probably a little too late. So I think instead – and Tony, because Tony, I'm just going to announce it for you, is also going to take a bit of a hiatus. Similar reasons. There's other stuff to be done, and the show has a bit of a momentum of its own, I believe, is the theory.
Yep.
We've got enough people on here. Lena and Scott and Jeff, we expect you guys will be able to do good work. William already is. And so for my pick this week, my goal, and I think going forward, this should be a tiebreaker. So no more of this, oh, well, we both got 25s. And yeah, you won last weekend. I do think it's interesting to take a look at all of those movies that come out that we ignore every week that have no theaters at all. And I think we should look at those and pick the movie that has the greatest average theater income.
And inevitably,
Taken 2 makes $2,500 a theater, but the movie that comes in at number 30 made $13,000 a theater. There we go.
Yeah. And And just to follow up on what Jonathan was saying, I am going to be taking some time off. The plan is that this is going to be a temporary hiatus, but you never know. I'm not taking
off. My poor Luke.
Yeah, perhaps. Except that I kind of run this one, so
yeah.
Like all of this. If I step away completely, bad things could happen.
And a couple of passwords, we can replace you.
Still doing backseat producers. Nothing's going to happen there. And, it might give me time, like I said before, to jump into doing some backseat quickies, which I know Scott would probably appreciate if people did that. And it might give me some time to justify jumping in and doing backseat book club, things like that. None of us are, once you're a backseat producer, you're a backseat producer. You can't get away from that. I won't let you.
It's like the Rolling Stones. The only way you leave is feet first.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nobody gets out alive. Jonathan's not going away. He's just stepping away from this part of it. I honestly can't wait to see what he brings to Backseat Book Club, and it'd be great to have him back on Backseat Producers. So I am going to be taking part with Jonathan in making the secondary pick of what is going to score best at the on the per theater average. And almost inevitably, it's one of those indie picks that is in two screens only. It's in two theaters, only in New York and L.A., and makes just a ridiculous amount of money for each theater that it's in.
And then disappears forever.
Right. And I think it'll be cool because sometimes those are the movies that end up being the Oscar darlings, mm-hmm. and those movies you see on IFC or that are in the film festivals. So it'd be kind of cool to kind of point some of those out too, not just the next Kevin James movie. But I also do still plan on participating in the regular picks, and I'll probably record those because right now there's only two people leaving regular voicemail. A third would be nice, maybe even a fourth or fifth. So guilt.
I'll probably phone in my.
Fantastic.
I don't know what. Yeah, what do we call these? Our
we'll have to come up with a good name.
Our artsy farty picks.
Artsy fartsy picks. I like that.
The fartsy pick for the week.
Backseat fartsy. No, that is not good.
No.
Not even a little.
No.
We're still going to buy the domain name, though.
I may have just done that. All right. So, Jonathan, what's your pick?
Yeah, since I guess scored first last week. And can I just say real quick, came in third for the
That's right. season. That's right.
You did.
Yeah, jumped right back in there. Told you I'd be right around where Andrew was.
of the original three hosts, I finished last.
Actually, that makes it one for you, one for me, and one for Andrew now, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it does.
That is perfect time.
And I don't think we mentioned this earlier. Andrew did get first place for the season amongst everyone. So congratulations to Andrew. Your prize will be in the email. It might be a picture from Sausage Fest.
What is the prize? We may never know, Highlander. We may never know. Ryan Reynolds is playing McCloud in the remake.
Oh, my. Anyway, Jonathan.
My fartsy pick for the week. I'm not entirely certain about that. There is another pick I think that would be the smarter, safer pick. But this one, the description, just like I have to go with it. So I'm going to start off poorly on my own brand new game. This one it's called The Sessions.
Damn it, that's the one I've got right here.
The Sessions, well, here's the description. Based on the poignantly optimistic autobiographical writings of California-based journalist and poet Mark O'Brien, The Sessions, and this is where it gets interesting, tells the story of a man confined to an iron lung, who is determined at age 38 to lose his virginity, and he gets help from his therapist and the guidance of his priest.
Yeah, this movie stinks of Oscar. So the reason I chose it, because I did choose this one as well, I've got the Box Office Mojo page in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
There are three reasons that I've chosen this movie. I didn't have that description. I'm more glad that I've chosen it based on your description, possibly, than I am based on what I see in front of me. The three reasons I chose, number one and two are two of the three lead actors, mm-hmm. Helen Hunt and William H. Macy. That's right there. That's
playing the priest.
That's looking good.
Yeah.
Then the third reason I picked it was the genre that's listed for the movie. And it's disability, paraplegic / quadriplegic. That may be terrible of me to pick it for that reason, but let's be honest. I mean, who always wins the Oscar?
Money would have been on, obviously this is a different category, but the inner city kids who play chess really well.
Yeah, Brooklyn Castle. Yeah,
that one too.
That's where I think the smart money's going.
No, I think that one's going to do okay.
William H. Macy plays a priest who tries to get a guy in an iron lung laid.
Yeah. That.
Done.
Done, yeah. I'm in for that. That one's going on my Netflix queue today.
You know what? And you see, this could have gotten a wide release had they included a monkey sidekick and made it a road comedy.
He's got to travel to Reno to go to a brothel, a legal brothel.
In 3 days, for undefined reasons.
It's just a remake of Fanboys. All right. So Jonathan's gave his pick. I apparently have dittoed his pick.
And my money is on inner city kids who play chess really well.
I do have picks for The Game. And since I think I was...
You went second,
sir. I'm in second, but there's a lot of us that are in second. And I wasn't that high up on the list last time. I believe Lena gets to make her picks. If memory serves.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Did I throw you under the bus?
Kinda.
You can kick me off the podcast.
Wait till the show notes come out next. Because you don't look at them anymore. Putting Paranormal Activity at number one. Taken 2 at number 2. Argo. Hotel Transylvania and Alex Cross. I only really have faith in number 1 and maybe number 2. Yeah, but those are my picks. Screw the rest.
Number 1's a solid pick there. I think that's...
Yeah. People want to be scared.
Do we know who would be next on the list to make picks?
Oh, wait, what's it based on? How it worked the week before?
How we did the week before. I guess it would have been Jeff. Didn't he get number one?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Oh, so it should have been Jeff before Lana. Whoops.
Damn it.
Look at you ruining things right now.
It's all right. We broke the format. Who knew?
Hey, new season, new format.
It's a free-for-all.
Ladies all first. Right, so Lana will always get to pick first.
New season, Lana always goes first.
I hate you all. What
did I say? Well, just based on the rules of general courtesy, ladies have to go first, right?
I believe that is correct.
And as a side note, age before beauty.
I hate you all more than I can say.
You're not making any friends there, Scott.
Stingray is the talent. That makes me the pretty one. Sorry, that's just how this dynamic has to break down.
Then who's the slut?
That makes me the old broad. Excuse me?
But wait a minute. Who's the slut then?
No.
That's problem, definitely Andrew.
The problem, Scott, is that we had three. The the talent, the pretty one, and the drag chute. And the talent and the pretty one are still here because Tony's on the cast.
That's
still
true.
It makes you the drag chute if you're claiming anything.
All right, Jeff.
New dynamics aren't allowed until we're actually gone.
Okay.
All right, so we're picking our highest per screen first. Is that how we're doing it?
If you want to play.
You want to get in on this action?
I thought it was just the two of you doing that.
Oh, I don't know. I think Scott has found a way to have his side bets here.
See, you know me. I always go for the side bet.
Scott's going to start running
on
book.
This too.
Scott's going to start running book here, and we're going to be shut down. But again, he is running it out of Canada, so maybe the rules are a little different there.
Well, depending on how the next round of city council votes goes, could be very different.
Well, there you go.
I may have to move this recording location to Center Island, but yeah.
Okay, so for my, I guess it's going to be indie pick. I didn't go as far as to like read descriptions and who's in or stuff. I'm just going off the name. And what I'm going to pick is going to be on two screens. So we're going to go with the foreign film, The Flat. I don't know what country, but it says it's foreign.
The
script is AFC, so maybe that has a snowball's chance. Okay, for my traditional, what we've done before picks, I'm going to go with Paranormal Activity 4 at 1, Alex Cross at 2, Argo 3, Taken 2, 4, and Hotel Transylvania 5. And I have no faith in anything I just said. Other than I got the numerical order right.
Is there anything in Rotten Tomatoes that tells you how many theaters it's going to be in?
No.
Make me happy.
I'm going off of release schedule off of Box Office Mojo.
And the description for The Flat, at age 96, director Goldfinger's grandmother passed away, leaving him the task of clearing out the Tel Aviv flat that she and her husband shared for decades since immigrating from Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Sifting through a dense mountain of photos, letters, files, and objects, Goldfinger begins to uncover clues that seem to point to a greater mystery, and soon a complicated family history unfolds before his camera. What starts to take shape reflects nothing less than the troubled and taboo story of three generations of Germans, both Jewish and non-Jewish, trying to piece together the puzzle of their lives in the aftermath of terrible events of World War II.
And so that sounds like even more smart money than inner city kids who play chess really well.
Yeah. It's written and directed by Arnon Goldfinger. It is a documentary. It's being released from IFC Films. I think smart money's on Jeff's pick.
That's a solid pick.
That is a good pick, sir.
Thank you, Dart.
All right. I think it's my turn to give my mass media picks. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I heard Jeff say Paranormal Activity 4 at number 1, Alex Cross at number 2, Argo at number 3, Taken 2 at number 4, and Hotel Transylvania at number 5. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Then I'm going to ditto Jeff, because that is what I wrote down. I'm feeling pretty good that Argo is going to hold on over Taken 2, and that Hotel Transylvania is going to hold on over over Sinister.
Yeah, you're right. I made shitty picks.
Paranormal Activity 4 is the only choice for number 1. Alex Cross is the maybe and all that, and that could go anywhere, but...
Darn it.
I like my 3, 4, and 5, unless Alex Cross slips down into that range, which could be worse.
I don't like my picks anymore.
So change them.
If you don't like what you got, why don't you change it?
New season. You don't have to stick with it.
I'm flipping my 2 and 3.
If your world is all screwed up, rearrange it.
I'm putting Argo at 2 and taking it 3. That's it.
All right.
And... for the other thing, I know nothing about it. I'm going to pick Hating Breitbart because I just like it. And I didn't want to pick something that you guys already picked. Okay, Scott, your turn.
Okay, well, my picks are going to be Paranormal Activity 4, Argo, Alex Cross, Taken 2, and Hotel Transylvania.
And are you going to be joining us on the artsy fartsy pick?
Yeah, I'm going with Brooklyn Castles, man.
Okay, okay.
Doing it.
Well, I am.
There is a movie coming out this week called Sassy Pants.
Yep.
How cool. Sassy Pants.
And the kid who saw dead people's in it. Haley
I don't
Joel
think he's
Osment.
A kid anymore.
Well, he when he was a kid,
he's got
he saw
a very
dead
weird
people.
Face.
He, like, yeah, he did not.
Age?
No, well, yeah, when he was well. Kind of uncooked looking, he was cute. He just did not proof well.
Like his,
so like Macaulay
Culkin?
Kind of
pulled a Luke. Like his head grew, but his face didn't.
He's got a tiny face.
But a big head. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
So, I think that calls an end to, you know, with this, we close the books on season 3 and start up season 4. Again, congratulations to Andrew for getting out at the beginning of the season and then dominating,
taking it all
the rest of the season. I hope to follow your lead, sir.
Jonathan, you will be missed.
Yes, well,
but hopefully we'll see you in other incarnations.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's the goal. Tony, thank you for the opportunity to be on the show.
Oh, not a problem. It's been a blast.
It's been a hell of a lot of fun. And then I will be around, people. I'll still send, especially I like the whole let's look at the arty ones and find what's either funny or interesting about them. So I'll actually participate in that. So I'll still be around.
Excellent.
Cool.
Excellent. So, and I am leaving it in very capable hands with you guys. William's already taken over the results show, and Lena's already taken over the scoring and updating of the leaderboard. So I know this is going to go as smoothly as all that has.
Mm-hmm. And stick around another year, and I'm sure I will have pitched yet another show.
Fantastic.
There's still a few days in the week that aren't full.
Backseat Sports is still out there.
Still on there. Oh, like I could almost ready to throw that now, except hockey lockout. So
I know that's that is unfortunate.
Like sports desks everywhere are like, what the hell do we do?
Yeah,
oh, crap. Soccer scores actually matter.
All right. With that, go Cards, because they won again tonight. So booyah. Yeah.
So they're up 2-1.
They are up 2-1. We'll see how it goes. And after a 3.5 hour rain delay.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a little bit crazy. But anyway, have a great week, everyone. And I'm around.
Yep. And send in your top 5 James Bond movies.
Okay.
And that's what we're closing on.
And that's how it ends.